At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
What do we want?
Mr. Stone!
Dad, who the hell are these assholes?
Guys are so mean.
Those kids are real losers.
We don't want your music.
You're their board, but
guys are so embarrassing.
To win any motherfucker always be funny.
Nice work, you dunce.
Welcome to another episode of The Stool Podcast. Y'all coming through and listening. We got whoever comes up. There you go, Mick.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to The Stool Podcast. Glad to be here today. It's going to be a fun day today.
Yeah, finally he's off the board.
Yep. He's off the board.
He's off the board for two episodes.
It's a little foreign for me, you know,
I was forced to be on to this today, so I don't know what's happening.
Oh, you're going to be fine.
So if you guys are just tuning in right now, so what we do is we spin every week. We go ahead and try to find someone different every week to, you know, be the producer. So this
out of us three.
Now we're doing the bingo ball thing.
Yeah, so that's going to be coming up in the future. Bingo balls.
There it is.
But yeah,
the bingo.
Yeah, there you go.
There's six.
There it is.
There it is.
All right, so Anthony.
What's up, guys? I'm here, Ranthony. How's it going? I'm going to introduce our guest. We're going to jump right into it because we have a very exciting guest. This is a friend from across the country. Good friend of mine. I've been working on a lot of music with this guy. I don't want to kind of spoil too much. I'll let him do a lot of his explaining of what he does, but he is he's worked with Sirius XM. He does television programs. He has a record label. He has a band, and we're going to get into all of that stuff. My good friend Quinn. Hey, what's up, buddy?
Yo, what's going on, everybody? How's it going?
I'm bad at that. I got this.
His last name is Villarreal.
Villarreal.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You say it better than I do, man.
That's only because my ex-wife's family is Villarreal. It was the same Nazi.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Johnny's got that spice. But yeah, go ahead. Tell the world a little bit about yourself, man.
Yo, so I'm producer Quinn. You can find me on Instagram. So I'm a television show director. I've been co-directing this show on poetry, which is going to air on PBS here, September 2nd, I believe.
September 2nd?
And then September 2nd. Yeah, it's called The Poet Speaks. It's going to be airing on PBS. Not hopefully, but you know, it'll probably be one of the last PBS specials to ever air. So a little heartfelt there, but you know, I was co-directing that, director of photography for that. Just started my own show. It's called The Hotbox Show. We got that coming out August 15th on the We Came as Romans YouTube page. So if you know We Came as Romans, check them out. They were the guest. We do about like a 2-hour interview, some games, just hang out with the guys and smoke some weed.
Nice.
It's a fun time, man. As Anthony was saying, I have a record label. It's called Red Helix Records. Right now we're in the signing stage and we're expected to be about 8 artists deep here in the next couple of months. Red Helix is my band, my solo project. I'm the guitarist, bassist. I program the drums and then hand off the drums to Jamie Vitullo. He's the drummer, so to speak, the virtual drummer. We've been working on this 20-song epic double LP for about 2-3 years now. It has a comic book that comes out with it. So each song is like an episode, in kind of this series, you know, comic book issues per song. And so the first issue, we kind of introduce all the different characters, which are actually the singers and musicians that are part of the project. It's a huge collaborative project. We've tapped people from all over the world. People like Anthony are on the records vocally. And we just have a sweet killer lineup that we're, you know, ready to announce to the world. First song comes out August 27th, Dopamine, featuring Flame Fontaine.
Nice. That's coming up soon.
Nice.
Too.
Now, what was the inspiration to start a whole entire journey doing a whole spread of, you know, media content like that? Obviously you have the whole thing from start to finish in your mind, right? Or were you just kind of working on it as you go?
So, you know, Metalocalypse, are you familiar with that show?
Of course. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, we don't play grandpa's guitars over here.
But they were a huge inspiration for me because they did a song per episode on their animated show. And so I was always like, that is a great way to like tell a story and just like, you know, have a soundtrack for a TV show is how I was thinking it in my head as I was writing these songs. And so then I kind of thought, you know, I was like, we don't have a budget to do like a full animated episode for these shows. So what if we did a comic book instead and you can kind of animate it in your head and then listen to the song as you read it. And so just as I've been writing, we kind of come up with the comic book theme in tandem of writing the song. Usually I'll write the instrumentals first and then, the vocals. I usually work with some of the vocalists to kind of, you know, get the themes down, make sure that it, like, I kind of tell them what would be happening in the comic book series. So, at that time. So it's super interesting. Anthony has his own storyline. I always make the lead singer of the song, like the main character of that issue. It's just a little easier to write that way. So, you know, Anthony's got some moral dilemmas he has to deal with, which will be coming out.
Wow. So how'd you guys meet, by the way? I mean, there seems to be a lot of dirt between you guys. So I'm kind of curious about that.
No. He reached out, you know, he kind of reached out to me, you know, I guess, you know, through the Dead Widow page mostly, right? That's what it was, right?
Yeah, I think I hit you up like on your personal page. I found Dead Widow just on Spotify, just going through like bands that sound like this band that, you know, in the little section. And then I was like, oh, I really fuck with these Dead Widow guys. So I hit Anthony up and was like, hey, do you want to, you know, scream your brain out on one of these songs, man? And we actually collaborated on two songs for this record and a little more to come. Anthony, if you want to talk about that.
Yeah, no. We've actually done at this point four songs. And then if you want to count the song, you know, that I helped you guys, you know, you and Corey do. I've you know, worked with five of his songs, man. So he has his own, you know, kind of, thing going on at the same time. He's, we're doing this kind of crossover kind of experiment with, Dead Widow. So that's going to be a fun thing, you know, to look out for that we're going to be doing here in the next upcoming couple of months. It'll be very fun once we get to share it. It's coming up quick too. So we did two songs for the Red Helix record. I did Quantum and, oh man, I'm spacing the name of the other one right now.
Voyager, it is.
Yes. Quantum and Voyager. And then we have two other songs that we're working on together soon. So it's been a nice, fun little ride, man.
That's sick. Yeah. I mean, that's a long-winded response. I mean, I appreciate it. Thank you guys.
Like I said, I was trying to like dance around how to, you know, kind of announce like, yeah, we have more stuff coming.
Right.
But under a different kind of umbrella, you know,
that's
but
good.
Should be fun, man. Should be fun. Sick.
That's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of cool things to be working on at one time.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm trying to contribute to the conversation, but I'm doing so many damn things over here. I forgot how to do all this shit.
He's so rusty.
Yeah.
By the way,
so we usually spin for who does the production on the episode, and he has just been on this run. This crazy run, like it's almost like an 8 or 9 episode run now where he hasn't had to do it.
It's been a few months.
Yeah, it's been wild that he hasn't had to do it. And so, he's back to it. And he's rusty. So
I'm a little rusty, but it's okay. But, everything looks good so far.
So yeah. Do you want to talk more about the comic book? Cause I mean, that's one of the reasons that I did bring you here I am the local nerd here. We have another friend, Brandon, who's a big comic book nerd and stuff. But, the last guest that I brought on here, Was also like doing like a comic booky music kind of crossover thing. So tell more about the comic book, man. I think that's super fascinating.
Yeah, dude. So the comic book is titled The Crater. That's also the name of the album. It really explores authoritarianism. It really explores like social inequality, the rise of AI, the rise of technology, all these things that are kind of prevalent in our world. But we look at it from about 500 years into the future. You know, what would happen if these things kind of were, you know, rampant, you know, and not fixed in the next 500 years. And so with the book, it's called The Crater because there's a giant crater in the world. And I had this idea. I was like, what would happen if there was a giant crater that appeared in the earth mysteriously, right? And so with that, the rich would inhabit it. The rich would go down. They'd start mining. They'd build a whole city. They'd build this empire essentially in this piece of land that's, you know, that's open, right? It's like, oh, there's new land. You know, everything was desolated. Let's be the, let's capitalize on it. Let's be the first one to claim it.
Like Avatar.
And so that's the basis of the story is there's this huge city that the, you know, each singer or musician is trying to escape. They band together. And you know, they have to take a journey throughout the city. They have to fight their way through this tower, very similar to the movie The Raid, if you guys have ever seen
that.
Oh
yeah, I love that movie. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like a huge, you know, fight scene. You gotta go climb your way up the tower. And then there's this land called the Savage Lands, and that's where there's genetically modified beasts and they harvest these beasts for food. And so it's just this wasteland of giant beasts. And that's kind of the only way out of the crater is to go through the city, to go through this savage lands, and then to kind of climb your way out of it. So the whole first season is kind of them trying to get out of the crater and their journey and fights and camaraderie and really just everything that comes with that.
That's sick.
Very cool, man.
That's sick, dude.
Very cool.
I like that idea myself.
Yeah, so, no, I tell him about what you do, Johnny. Tell him about like a little bit what you do on the side to make your little, you know, little scratch, your little money that you make.
What are you talking about?
Your job?
I'm talking about my cars? I work for a card shop, so we sell Pokemon cards and sports cards and all that good stuff. Why am I telling him that?
Because I don't know. It's like the one link that you would have because you don't know shit about comic books, even though you work in the industry.
No, I know a little bit.
No, you don't. Look, listen, you don't know shit.
I don't know much about stories and stuff in the comic book, but that's fine. That's because you know, I'm more of a visual like guy with shows. So like I grew up watching animated Batman and freaking X-Men, you know, and all that shit. That's where I got my comic book-esque stuff from. But I started buying comic books. I'm all up in Absolute Batman right now. It's just sick.
Right on.
I've been reading Absolute Superman.
Dude, I know. I heard that one's good. I heard that one's good. But I'm in Absolute Batman right now. I've been reading Invincible comic books. I love the show. But yeah, so I'm enjoying this. This is sick. But I mean, my whole family collects comic books.
And you collect sports cards.
Sports cards. No. Hey, now Pokemon cards. Sports cards don't get me no type of value. Pokemon, though. Am I right, Quinn?
Pokemon cards. I got some Pokemon cards back here. You see the Pokemon over here?
I do. I see your Gengar up there in the corner.
By the way, with the whole Pokemon boom where it is right now, I wish I would have stayed in it, man. I had so many first editions.
Yep.
From back in the day, holographic first editions. I had like books upon books and books of holographics and really good shit.
Yep.
And now I don't get to say this because I honestly
had friends that would give me like the extra Pokemon cards they didn't want and shit. So I had like a little stack of them, but I was never big into the Pokemon cards thing. I never got big into, I was already like on my Marvel cards. I was collecting all my like Fleer, Ultras, like all that stuff. That's what I collected in my action figures. And I never got really hugely into Pokemon like that. Yeah.
No, I got into Pokemon like literally like I liked the show. You know, I thought the show was fun.
I liked the show better than the card game for sure. I would watch the show like every day before school and shit.
Right. See, for me, I got into Yu-Gi-Oh. That was my shit. But I did have a little bit of Pokemon cards. But then recently, I seen the boom just working in the industry. I'm seeing people open boxes of cards or sports cards and, you know, basically throwing $300 down the drain when I can throw $300 into Pokemon and literally make my money back pretty easily. There's one card that I've...
Yeah, it sounds like crypto, the way you're describing that.
Dude, it's like stocks, for real. Like, Pokemon is like stocks. I can show you my collector app. It literally shows, like, an increase on my cards. It's pretty sick. I hit one card. I spent $26, hit one card, and it started at $300. Now it's at $400 in the past, like, month.
Got a trading card ticker on your phone?
Pretty much. It literally looks like it's a graph and everything. It's sick.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah, I'm over here like Dr. Zoidberg. I invested in a sandwich.
Oh, shit.
So, Quinn, so tell us more about your new TV show, too. I mean, I'm fascinated by that.
That's super cool. I love
that's TV. That's so awesome. First off, The Hot Box, great name, great concept. But dive into it.
Yeah, so I really came up with the idea, and I was like, I think I can outsmoke most rock stars. And I think that'd be a funny...
You think you can outsmoke Snoop?
I would like to have the opportunity to try.
Hell yeah.
That'd be amazing.
I think that'd be a fun episode.
That's the attitude right there.
The We Came as Romans guys didn't smoke that much. They had the show to play that night, and they didn't want to get too stoned. So the next guest, we kind of have to double down and make sure that they smoke a shit ton of but no, really, it's not about the cannabis. That's just kind of the vessel we use to get people loose and to get people talking. And we try to make it a little bit more about like the conversations, trying to have those, you know, replicate those baked conversations that you would have like college with your buddies at 3 a.m. in the morning, right? And so we talk about like philosophy, religion, aliens, you know, new music, like where they were when they first started out as a band, you know, some of those stories that they have of like how they met, things like that. But, and then we do some games. So we have a segment called Slow Roasted, where we play the songs in slow motion. And so they have to kind of guess. They had a really hard time with it, surprisingly. They were like, you know, what song is this? And they kept guessing wrong.
Oh shit.
Like super slow, like
it's like
sounds like
What was the song that you guys did for them?
Oh, we did 7 songs for them. So,
oh shit.
It's like a whole segment, and it's, you know, like 30 minutes of them going through each song, like, you know, really, really fine details about how the song was written. But then, you know, a little smoking in between too. But, you know, one of them that we did was 1230, which was off of their self-titled album. And, you know, that was the one that it kind of let down the fans a little bit. And they really owned up to that and kind of talked about how, you know, they weren't happy with the record either and kind of wish they could have redone it. But then they used that to fuel themselves for the next album, which was just a banger album. So, we get into a lot of that stuff. If you're a We Came as Romans fan, you'll definitely be pleased by the interview. It's 2 hours. It's meaty. But it comes out August 15th at 7 p.m. We Came as Romans YouTube.
Nice.
Oh, hell yeah. That's sick. That's sick. That's hell such yeah, a great man. Idea for like a segment on a podcast. That's or a show. That's awesome. That's a good idea. I like that.
I feel like personally, like there's also a little bit of humanity to like when whether it's an artist or a movie star or somebody, but like you see him smoke, you're like, oh, they're just like me. You know, so it's like it is a little bit of a kind of like a good way to like bridge that that gap between, you know, the fans and, you know, how the fans normal lifestyle is and relaxed. Maybe they smoke weed, maybe they hang out and, you know, microdose mushrooms or something, and then knowing that like their counterparts in music actually do that, you know, is pretty cool.
Yeah.
so tell me dude, like what's your day look like? Like what, so with all the things that you're involved with, like how do you keep a routine for yourself that without breaking your brain, you know, essentially.
So my brain is very much, it likes to jump from one place to another. So I usually do that. It'll be like, okay, I got to work on record label stuff right now. And then I'll crank on that for a couple hours. And then I'm like, all right, I got to switch. I got to edit some videos, edit some of this TV show. And then it's like, oh, I'm working on the music right now. Oh, I got a lick of inspiration. Let me just go to, you know, write down some music real quick. It's very fluid. I try to give myself like time parameters to work so that I don't just like overwork. Mm-hmm. But you know, in the mornings I like to just chill out more, play music. And then towards like 12 o'clock to 7 PM is where I kind of just grind and, you know, just edit, crank out edits, you know, to work on some pre-production. I'm writing. I'm also working on a narrative TV show right now, too. It's a drama. It's called The Trauma Project. I can't get into too many details about it yet. My co-creator, Antonio Ortiz, was on the show Power, Raising Kanan. If you guys have ever heard of that show.
Yeah, I know that. I know Power. Yeah.
So we just have been writing this screenplay. We're looking to film it in November. So really it's been, you know, we've been doing casting calls. We've been doing like, you know, getting the music ready for it, getting every little tiny detail that it takes to make like a television show or a movie, you kind of have to account for, right? And so as soon as the thought enters my head, I just kind of do it. You know, I'm like, as we're speaking right now, I'm like, oh, I have other shit I have to do. Let me write that down real quick and take care of it after dinner, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm just all over the place, man. I hope that answers your question.
No, yeah, it does because, I mean, that, I kind of struggle with that myself because, like, I have a lot going on to where I'm like, well, you know, what is the time allocation for this project versus that project? And what has more of an expedited need than the other things? You know what I mean? What's going to be more, you know, beneficial for me to focus more energy on that versus this? You know what I mean? So I've always been kind of curious to kind of hear other people's thoughts on that, you know, workflow of things. So I appreciate, you know, giving some insight on that, you know?
And then, to speak to all of that too, like, you know, with the, how, I mean, Mike has his workflow. I'm sure you have your workflow. I wouldn't call what I have a workflow. It's like literally like usually if I'm able to kind of make it happen in between my work, my like actual 9 to 5 work hours and like certain like, you know, rehearsals that are already basically booked, like the time that's blocked out. And then like, you know, creating new stuff. How do you fit that in? Where is that like the mornings that you're talking about where you're just like jamming, writing? Maybe you have an idea that comes up and like, hey, that's a new idea.
Yeah. So I have a writing partner that I work with too on the music side. His name's Thierre. He works at my production company. And so he'll always send me like drum beats and just like not, they're not loops. They like are like full songs, like the full drums for songs. And so he'll send that to me. And whenever I get that ping, I just get a surge of like motivation to try something new and like try something on a song. That's one of the songs we've been working on, Anthony. He wrote the drums for, so
okay,
Stockholm Street. That
nice.
One.
Okay, yeah. So honestly, I'm gonna be honest that out of all the ones that we've had, it's probably my favorite one that I've worked on so far. I do like that one a lot. Not only lyrically, thematically, did it hit like did like all the stuff fall into place for me when I wrote it. But there was just a fun element to it. I really do like how that song came together.
Yeah. So I take that as inspiration. Sometimes if I'm having a bad day, I use that as an inspiration to kind of like work through some of those thoughts musically, if that makes sense. And then
what do you usually do? What would you say musically? Lyrics, or are you sitting down with your guitar or sitting at your computer? What do you usually do?
So I do everything in Logic, even my writing. Lyrics I'll write in the Notes app, but I'll always start with the drums. And so I'll program some drums just to get out, like, what is the feeling? What is the beat? What is the mood that I'm in right now? You know, tap out the drums on, like, my little MIDI keyboard. And then I'll grab my 7-string and just chug along to it and try to find some different rhythms and patterns and things like that. And then once I have the bass for it, then I'll pull in the lyrics and I kind of do like, if it's screaming parts, I'll do like,
mock
placeholders.
Yeah. It's mumble, but you change, it was some master class I took. I want to say it was Christina Aguilera, but she was like, there's only so many different like vowels that you can say, right? Like E, I, O, you know? So I just mix a bunch of those different sounds into the mumbles so that when I listen to it back, I'll play it back 20 times and try to write to it. And give it some structure of like, what was I saying there, you know?
What's cool, but what's cool about that though is like when you do that particular method, I mean, I do that method myself, you start hearing the lyrics in there. Isn't it weird? You start hearing things that are supposed to be there. It's such an interesting phenomenon that I've always kind of, you know, dealt with, especially with writing vocals.
I mean, I do. I'm the same way. Like, I mean, here's a different little angle that I have on it, because I do the same thing where it's like, you know, you gibberish, write some shit, and then you go listen to it, you know, while you're at work or you're jogging or whatever, and you're like listening to it, and then you hear whatever words that might make sense and they come together in a theme for the song, and then, oh shit, the song got written, right? So another thing that I'll do is new songs, new music that I haven't, you know, kind of, you know, learned the words to, screamy music, you know, let's say like a good band. That's a good example is like Emure or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like almost pretty clear. You could hear him pretty clear, but it's also pretty garbled, you know? So it's like, blah, 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 blah. You know, so you could be open to translation with how you hear shit. And so like you hear a song you haven't heard by them, right? Play a song that you haven't heard by them. And then you hear them do a specific pattern or melody. And then like sometimes a lyric will be a placeholder. It'll be a filler. It'll come in there for me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, perhaps the lyric is, you rock the world, you fucking bitch. And then in my head, it was, you rock the cradle just like this or something like that. You know what I mean? In my head, that's what I heard because I didn't know the actual lyrics. And so I'll sing it that way. I'll hear it that way. But what are you trying to use the soundboard? You fucking dildo. It's failing over there.
None of these are just doing it.
Failing, Johnny.
Nope, that's not it.
But anyways, sorry for that tangent. But I mean, that's one way I'll come up with new lines is like I'll listen to a band that I don't know the lyrics. And then when I, you know, get a melody that I like or hear a line that I like, I don't know what they're saying. I'll just fill in I'll placehold it. Like I'll make something up that I say to it in that same exact cadence and melody. And I have my own line that I just wrote, you know what I mean? For a new song to use in a different thing. Does that make sense? Is that crazy?
This guy stinks.
All right. Shut up. I'll shut up. God damn it. So, give me a shot, board bitch. Can I have a shot, board bitch? That's your job, right?
Hey. You can't yell at me, but I'll do it. But you can't yell at me.
No, I'll get my own shot.
I volunteered.
But shut up. Shut up.
So I'm gonna. All right, you get him that. I'm gonna ask a question. All so when you do your writing stuff, I mean, any production stuff that you do, what's the most important key factor that makes a project? Like, what's the most important thing that you look for to be the bare bone for anything that you write? Is it like the hook? Is it like the storyline? What is it that makes it super special to you to keep wanting to pursue it? You know?
So I think I've written probably 300 songs at this point now. And most of them suck. Most of them are awful. And so the ones that are good, I take and it just has a different feel to it, right? Like it has emotion to it. It has a certain cadence to it that drives me to like feel a certain way. And that's what I look for in my music. Like, is this riff doing it for me? Or is it making me feel angry? Is it making me feel like empowered? Is it making me feel like sad? Like, what is that emotion I'm trying to convey with this song? And then the theme kind of works its way into it. You know, but I think to answer your question, the most important part really is that beat. And we had my old pop punk band back in Cincinnati. I'm living in Brooklyn right now, but I had a pop punk band called Painted Platinum. Yeah. We have a song and we go, the beat, it's always the beat. Something like that, man. I have to listen back to the song, but really it is. It's always the beat is what you have to look for. And if the beat's off, then the whole song is going to be off.
Yeah, I have this funny metric for a good song for me is it's always like if the drums and the bass, if you could recognize it through the wall, it's golden. You know what I mean? If there's like the catchiness you can hear through a wall, doing, like, say, for, I just always imagine, like, you're at a party, you're like, oh, I gotta take a piss.
And then, yeah, you're in the bathroom, song, hear a song, and you hear the song through,
you know exactly
the bathroom,
what song it is. Like, yeah.
You're still already bobbing.
So, for me,
your head.
So, you know, that, I know that's a weird metric to go off of, but for me, I always do that. When I write stuff, I'll leave.
There's a reason it's a good metric. It's because that's one of the things that literally most, okay, so when you see a record label put, you know, 5 or 6 to 12 to 18 songwriters of effort into a song for an artist, there's a reason for that, mm-hmm. is because they're trying to just accomplish this level of universality that reaches everybody. And that requires a level of science that taps into our, like, evolutionary, like, our brains, you know what I mean? Like, our minds, like, what we will just naturally tap our toes to. You know what I mean? And there's people who have a grasp on that, and that's how they, you know, they write the big songs, and that's the reason that some songs are so huge. You know what I mean? I would argue that it's more special when, like, a band like Queen writes a song like Bohemian Rhapsody, and it reaches several generations because of its brilliance and because of its melodic, like, actual integrity, versus, like, people... it's almost like watching music be built in a laboratory, so that it's like Doritos, you know what I mean? They made Doritos to fucking, these are all just crazy flavors that no one can deny that they're good because science says.
Okay, tangent, best Dorito flavor, it was like the extra cool ranch, remember?
I'm honestly...
remember that one that had extra cool ranch?
Dude, I'm honestly so fucking pissed that that's not available anymore.
You remember that, though?
Absolutely, I fucking remember those.
Yeah, it was a trip.
Man, the sodium intake was ridiculous.
What's your favorite?
Who, me?
Yeah.
The original
Cool Ranch?
Go for it, Quinn. What's your favorite?
You said the original taco flavor.
Oh, taco!
Oh, my God!
I forgot about that, dude. Yes. Taco is honestly one of the most underrated flavors of Dorito. Absolutely. I can't believe it's like so like, it's not, okay, so you have nacho cheese, and you have Cool Ranch, and they're like the main ones you think
and
of.
And what pisses me off,
and it's like, why is it ancillary? Why is taco not one of the main flavors?
And they have a Dorito taco at Taco Bell? Why don't they have that flavor?
Taco?
Why?
Taco Dorito.
Taco on taco, dude. That'll be fucking gangbusters, dog.
Oh, dude, let's go. That's good. Petition for that starts today.
Fat boy projection. Let's just, whatever.
Petition for that starts today.
I still think my favorite is the Flamin' Hot Doritos.
Just the plain Flamin' Hot? No, you're not extra hot nacho, Flamin' Hot...
it's the Flamin' Hot Nacho, I think, is what it
Flamin'
is.
Flamin' Hot Nacho?
It's like regular Doritos, but the Flamin', like, with the Flamin' Hot in there. I just love those chips, man. They get me.
Anything Flamin' Hot, it just tells you that you're on the verge of losing your taste buds, because if that's what it takes,
bro,
if that's what it takes, because I'm not going to deny right now that Flamin' Hot Nachos or Flamin' Hot. Have you ever had that Flamin' Hot Nachos? Like,
yeah.
Where you just get the Flamin' Hot chips and then fucking all the asada and
the whole thing.
It's one of the most incredible inventions in the world.
Yep. You know what I've been on lately is the Flamin' Hot Spitz.
The sunflower seeds,
bro.
Yeah, no,
I'm talking about
it's gonna, you're gonna burn out your fucking taste buds. Your taste buds will disappear.
That's what I'm saying because I was
sucking on them all day.
All day. I put like a handful in my mouth, right? Put a handful in my mouth, and as I'm driving, I'm just, you know, spitting.
Dude, this guy's sodium intake must be ridiculous.
It was for that week, but then like I noticed my gums were hurting and shit. I'm like, all right, I gotta get out of this.
It's like fucking chewing on char right now.
That's what I'm saying. It was too much. I was like, I gotta stop this shit.
Oh god, you're getting the salt chap on your
lips. Are you a big Flamin' Hot guy, Quinn? Do you do the Flamin' Hot stuff?
If it's there, I'll take it or leave it. I'm sorry, guys. I don't have many opinions on Flamin' Hot.
So what's a party night for Quinn? What do you consider like a good night for you, dog?
Like a good night is going to see a show and then going to do karaoke after with your friends.
Yeah. Let's go.
That's a good night.
Hell yeah. No one's complaining about that.
Get some ramen, get some pizza, you know, spread out.
Wait,
you know,
we're talking like an 8-hour night, choosing guys. You said both ramen and pizza, or you're choosing between one?
Ramen, pizza.
No, it's an 8-hour night. You got to fuel your body with something, you know?
We're hitting both.
Start at 7, get a nice little dinner at 6 or 7, get some ramen, go to a concert, hit a couple bars, then it's one and you're ready to go to Koreatown and do some karaoke. Yeah, come on, guys. That's how you do, that's how you do it.
That's sick.
Yeah.
That's sick.
This good shit.
Hey, you actually did it right.
I got it.
Man, can you hear the soundboard on your end?
Not really.
Yeah. Like down?
Hell yeah.
You
hell
can't
yeah,
hear the, you can't hear the soundboard.
I got it.
You heard it, that one. See? See
you heard it. Keep trying.
Disgusting ads.
Yo, it's producer Quinn. You're watching The Stool Podcast. Dopamine by Red Helix comes out August 27th. Stream it everywhere.
Printful! If you want to make super high quality merchandise, t-shirts and stuff like that, go to printful.com.
Your band needs merch, you know where to get it, huh? Printful.com.
All right, you're leaning super Italian now. It's like,
hundreds of different items, mugs, hats, shirts, sweaters, hoodies, anything you want. You could put your logo on, band designs. You could throw it on pretty much everything. Do stickers, buttons, patches, all of it. You can get it printed and shipped, and you don't have to leave your house or buy any shipping materials.
Easiest way that you could make merchandise or things that you could share with your fan base.
Yes, easy money. You design the stuff, you share it, and Printful takes care of the rest. Also, you can put Printful with Shopify or something like that and work them together.
Now, Johnny, tell the people how to spell that again.
Printful. .com/a/dunce printiful.com/a/dunce
Pretty good. I'm fucking proud of you on that one.
I thought I wasn't going to get it.
That's printful.com/a/dunce
Dunce.
All right.
So, but, Quinn, you actually shared a couple songs with us. We're going to play some. We always like to share music and the podcast. I think we're going to, we can do that.
Yeah, play the Forestall one.
I got a little
Forest Hall.
Tell us why you shared this one today.
You know, that really says so much about how my brain works, because I read that Forestall. Forestall. I'm an idiot. I really am just a autistic moron.
Forestall. I see what you're saying. You're an idiot.
So I picked this track. I found them probably 6 months to a year ago. I don't think I've heard anybody talk about this band. They're pretty small. I think they, you know, only have a couple hundred monthly listeners. So I think the guy is somewhere in the Netherlands, maybe Sweden, maybe, you know, somewhere like that. I don't mean to, you know, isolate one area, but that's where the music I feel like is coming from when I hear it. Yeah, it just has a good groove to it. It's heavy as shit, and I think more people should listen to it.
Sorry, my bad.
Come on, Johnny.
I do like it, though.
It's sick. That's why I wanted to hear more of it. I heard it earlier.
We accidentally played it earlier.
Nah, you started over. You suck.
I started at the beginning. All right, Quinn, we're going to play this. Let's see.
Oh, my God.
Shut your ass up. Hey, shut up.
All right, let's go. Come on, play. It's playing. Yeah.
Definitely a great groove.
All right, stop. Pause it real quick. I do have to give shout out though. The pause it, dude.
I'm trying.
Man, you're bad at this.
It won't pause.
And I'm bad at this.
Now, I was going to say, I have to give a shout out right off the bat. Like the relationship between the kick drum and the bass guitar in the mix sounds freaking dope.
Really good.
Sounds dope.
It's mixed.
It's
awesome.
It's really grabby, dude.
It's mixed.
I like
awesome.
That. Hey, dude.
I actually really like
that's
the,
actually, I like that.
And then
that.
I honestly, I'm curious to know whether he's screaming in English or is he screaming in his native language, whatever it is. Because that would be cool. Because it almost sounds like he's like screaming in some sort of other dialect, no?
Yeah, I think so. I have no idea. I think it's just one dude that does all of it too, which is it's like super impressive.
I'm always a fan of that.
We
love that.
We were literally talking about that last podcast, remember?
When one guy just kind of always...
doing a bunch of different... Igor. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, just being the rider.
Yeah, he does. He does it all. Like, that's at least that's what it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's keep going.
Yeah, I've cycled through all of us doing the same thing, dude. Look at, look at. Yeah, see, it got us. It got every one of us. Hell yeah. Yeah, that, you said it right, Quinn. It's got the groove.
Groove, yeah.
It's got that groove.
The beat.
And the thing that's fun about it is it's riffy. It's not just like, because it's got like that genty drums, but I hear the like the almost like Metallica-y, like,
oh, yeah,
that kind of guitar. That's
I'm like,
very cool.
I'm like Night at the Roxbury over here. Yeah.
Yeah. No, no. But yeah, no, I like it. I like it. Keep on playing a little more. Give us a little mo'.
A little mo'.
Turn it up a little bit too. I want to hear that shit.
It is fucking dope. I do like this.
Ooh.
To a little ambient stuff.
Wait, so this is the thing. When it comes to like bands like this and they take it down like that and they just drop you into this like hole, I love that. I just love that.
Johnny just loves being dropped into holes. That's what it is. He just loves a good hole. That's our new thing. Huh? That's our summer thing. This year.
Oh yeah, this is sick.
There's like a chorus effect on the guitars a little bit.
Now, as a producer, Mick, what would you say? What would you say? How many tracks is this project for this song?
This one probably like, sounds like a lot. Probably like 50, 60.
50, 60.
It sounds like a lot.
I mean, it's just probably the layers of different effects and all the,
it's
all,
like
the
an onion.
All the bus chains you got going on and all that stuff, you know, accumulates to processing power too. So you probably got to have a really good computer for, you know, to work on stuff like this. What were you trying to do, dude?
I didn't actually click anything, dude.
Oh, it sounded like you're trying to put crickets.
What were you playing, crickets or something?
I didn't click literally nothing.
Uh-huh.
I was typing in stuff to like.
Yeah. Play that one over and over. That's my favorite fucking one.
Wait, so Mick, when I hit the keyboard, it's playing.
Yeah, you can
shit.
Play it. You didn't know that?
I didn't know that. Yeah, there's some hotkeys on there.
What?
Yeah, you play sheesh.
You can program
play
that.
Sheesh.
Are like onions. Onions have layers. Ogres have layers.
Aw, a little Mike Myers shout out.
You know what I'm saying?
But
because
yeah, no,
we're talking about how much layers are in the song.
All right, stop derailing.
All right, whatever.
Jesus, this guy. God. All right, play the onions thing again. No.
All right, one more time.
No, but yeah, no, with projects like that, with like, you know, heavy songs like this, it's like a minimum of like 40 tracks that you're dealing with. Minimum. Like if it's real, I've seen, you know, people work on projects online and it's like they're dealing with like 110 and plus.
Yeah, it's
it's my favorite thing.
It's just the accumulation of all the stacks and all those stuff you want to have panned left and right to create stereo effect and stuff like that. All that stuff accumulates, you know. Obviously, a lot of people, you know, if you do that stuff, you have to have really good phase correlation between the whole entire mix. You know, their whole thing has to kind of like get melted together to where it sounds really pumpy through the speakers. You know. But I don't know. I like this. These guys are pretty fucking good.
Forest Hall gets like a, okay. So what did we decide? It was, Love Watch, Hate Watch, Null Watch, right?
I don't know. I personally like the dunce caps. How much dunce caps you give it?
Dunce caps is gay. Everyone does fucking numbers. 5 out of 10, 2 out of 5.
Yeah. That's why.
That's gay. That's lame.
I give these guys a solid 8.
Hey, dunce caps. All right, whatever, guys.
Mosey over right over what you said.
No, yeah, Forest Hall. Yeah, 8 dunce caps, I guess. 8.5.
I think it's like a...
I would say a love watch.
It's like a 7 to 8 love watch for me.
Love watch. Yeah. Love watch.
I'll use both.
Yeah.
Include your bitch ass.
Thank you.
Obviously, I like it though.
Obviously Quinn's on board. He shared it with us.
Quinn, what made you gravitate to listen to these guys the most? What was the pull for you?
Grooviness. The way, like I gravitate towards music that I can't play like proficiently or just like styles. Like I'm like, oh, I don't know if I could play that. I love it. But not to the point where, you know, some people are just shredding to shred and I'm like, I don't know. There's no like
that's boring
soul behind it, you know?
Shredding's boring for
so,
me.
I don't know. I felt like when I was listening to it, I was just like, I had a mirror or a window into this dude's soul, you know? I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, yeah, it does. I mean, you listen to it and you can hear the thought process. You can hear the conviction behind the bars and stuff of all the riffs and stuff. That's why I've always kind of felt like super shreddy stuff is this kind of like parlor tricky, kind of just like
that's a video I wish I would have shared to maybe I'll you know key it up for the next podcast or something. But this guy, I think it was on YouTube that I found it too. But he basically did this funny video of there's a point where music talent doesn't impress anymore. You know what I mean? There's like, he did like this whole like bar graph for it where it's like, where you could be able to play chords and it's more impressive than it is when you're able to like shred because, you know, only a certain contingent of like music fans and musicians will be able to acknowledge exactly how difficult it is what you're doing. And then once you reach the apex of like impressing those people, it more or less is like, all right, you've peaked there. And then if you go past that, they're just going to be like jealous of you and upset with you. Like the video does it so much better justice. I really wish I would have brought it. It would have been funny.
Yeah. You just ranting.
I told you guys, I'm not going to be on today. It's going to be a long day. It's been a long week.
That's true though.
All right, you guys carry the conversation. I'm going to try to find this video. I bet you I can find it.
Find that shit.
So Quinn, so what was your first instrument, dude? Or did you start playing instruments or singing or what did you?
Yeah, I started playing the acoustic guitar when I was 7. Did that for about 2 years, damn, like lessons, and then played the violin in school. So that's some sick of my like guitar playing is a little violin style. I always say I play the bass like a guitar and play the guitar like a bass, just in terms of like how I write and just strum it. I don't know. Does that make sense?
In terms of rhythmically, are you talking about actual like technique?
Rhythmically. And like, you know, I'll be doing a lot of like solos when I'm playing the bass. Cause I played bass in a couple bands too, back when I was in, you know, high school and middle school. But yeah, really been focused on guitar and my guitar's playing style has a lot of like bass qualities to it where it's, you know, it's groovy. It makes you kind of dance a little bit, but then also it gets heavy and just carries the rhythm with it.
It's so funny that you say that because you said you use Logic too.
Yeah.
every single person I meet every person that I've met that uses Logic, that's one of their fundamentals to music writing is like the rhythmic importance to music, you know? I don't know. Cause I use Logic. That's super important to me. All the rhythm, having things that are just like you can kind of just like, it's almost like an indescribable thing to where I don't really know how to quantify it into a specific thought or whatever. But I think it's really, really interesting to see, you know, people that, you know, focus really hard on like the quality of their writing patterns and stuff like that always seem to like go towards like Apple products for some reason, you know, whether it be Final Cut or Logic or whatever. I don't know. Just a weird observation I had.
I mean, I agree though, because I started using Final Cut and it like changed everything for me because I was Premiere Pro for everything and After Effects and shit. But when I started using Final Cut, I'm like, oh, this shit is superior. And then same thing with Logic. I completely switched over. Not my phone, but I switched over my computer. Straight Apple, because it just makes sense. Everything's just so easy to use.
Wait, you still use an Android, but you use an Apple computer?
Yep.
How do you do that?
Just works for me. Just because Apple computer, for utility for me, when it comes to computers, it makes way more sense.
It just sounds like you're allergic to integration. That's all it is.
I am, but, you're saying?
He is. Oh.
But then my phone is still, my tablet is still Samsung.
It's like a 17-step process for you to send me a file instead of like just airdropping it to
Nuh-uh.
Me.
Yeah. Nah, dude. I just put it in the drive and it's good to go.
All right. What's next? What do we got?
Man, I'm not going to find this video. I thought I saved it, but... It was good though.
Yeah.
It was good. Did I tell you guys what it was? It was a guy talking about how no matter how hard like you work at guitar, like there's an apex of how impressive it is. You want me to talk about it again?
No.
Okay.
A bunch of goddamn nerds.
All right, what else do we have?
I say, look.
Okay, what is Snot? I immediately want to see that.
You want to see Snot? That's a band.
Yeah, Wait, I know.
Do you know the band Snot?
I feel like I've heard of it.
They have a song with Polyphia.
No. No, that's somebody else. So they're back in the day, there was a band called Snot. They played like... they played like it was basically new metal. So I shared them on the podcast before, I'll give you guys a little glimpse. Where's the fucking Spotify at? But basically, they're coming back. So they lost their singer. He passed away, back in the day when they were at their peak, when they were playing freaking Ozfest and all
like
that shit.
See,
right?
Yeah, that sounds familiar to me. Like they were around that time.
Yeah. So they're, but they're cool. They're a good band. Like overall, really
That's
cool.
That's not showing.
You'll hear it. It's just Spotify, so I just pulled up that. But they're really fucking good, right?
Giving me fucking.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's got Primus vibes to it already. Yeah. You know, I'm
So he passed away like similar to Bradley from Sublime. He passed away. Him and his dog were in a car accident, I believe.
Wait, Bradley's dog died with him?
No. But it's like, you know, the singer vocalist got it. Dog. Okay. Yeah. You know,
I'm sorry.
Friendship.
I'm sorry to
was it the same dog that was working on that one track?
Yeah, Lou Dog.
Yeah, Lou Dog.
Lou Dog.
Right. Smells like Lou Dog inside the van. Oh yeah. This ain't no funky.
This guy acts like he never heard Sublime before. But it's a good band. Right? I love their shit.
When did they come out with this? Johnny?
Sorry, say again?
When did they come out with this?
This was, what year is this? This is like a while back because this came, 1997, this album came out.
Okay.
And then he passed away. So they passed away and he was like friends with everybody, Limp Bizkit, Korn, everybody at that time. You know what I mean? System of a Down, everybody. And then they ended up making a collab album with him in it. I mean, not with him in it, obviously, but they made a collab album after that. So it was the band.
Everybody dedicated to him.
And then
almost like the Mitch Lucker Suicide Silence.
Yes.
Thing.
Very close to that. So everybody's in it. Corey Taylor's in it. Jonathan Davis, Surge.
Nice.
Max Cavalera.
What?
Brandon Boyd, Fred Durst.
Holy shit.
Dez from fucking Cold Chamber.
Is this a record that I could stream right now?
Yep. It's called Straight Up.
Because
his last name is Strat. So his last name is Lynn. His name is Lynn Strat. So this album's called Strat Up, which is kind of like Straight Up, I guess. But anyway, they wrote this cool song and it's a good video and it's kind of like touching almost, you know?
Johnny's about to get gay.
It's good, dude. It's so good.
And everybody's Johnny has emotions, Mick.
A little bit.
Tune in.
But it's the vocalist of... so it's a vocalist of Seven Dust. So it's not with the vocalist from Seven Dust. And that was this is like the video that I wanted to share. Cause it's
now
cool.
Seven Dust has always had the same vocalist or they've switched out.
Yeah. LeJon.
No, it's the same guy.
The dude with the dreadlocks.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but the reason why I brought them up is not just because of that whole story and everything. But because they're actually making a comeback right now with a new singer and he sounds just like Lynn, which is pretty dope. It's like kind of like, oh, okay, whatever, but it's cool. You know what I mean? Like, it's a cool idea. What, Mick? Damn. Stopping the show?
You're not playing the music.
Of course, Mick. I got it. Damn. All right, here we go.
Look at, he's just not ready to be in the hot seat right now.
Let me put this in there.
Yeah, yeah. Play.
I'm trying.
What a loser.
Call him a loser, Quinn. We give you full permission. No, just call him. No.
Do it. Do it, Quinn. See what happens.
He's like, I'm too nice. I'm too nice. Okay, so this is featuring the vocalist of Seven Dust, but this is Snot.
But it's Snot, yeah. But the musicianship is so good.
So it's not, it's, you want to say it's the full band, but it's not.
It's not. It's not the full band.
Yeah, like a good pun.
Guys,
you got him. You almost got Quinn there. You almost got him.
We have fun here. We have fun here.
You're so punny.
It is cool. Giving me POD vibes right off the bat. Yeah. Incubus, POD, yep. Kind of.
But this fool's vocals are so good, dude.
I mean, you're singing for 25 years solid. Yeah, it's gonna be amazing.
I don't know. I just got like tantric vibes.
Yeah, a little bit of tantric. Yeah, yeah, yeah. A little bit, a little bit.
Yeah, I think there's a level you reach as a vocalist where no matter what, you just walk into a room and people are like, yeah, whatever he does is pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. Look at that lady's Lynn's mom.
Oh, ooh, really?
This video's good, dude. I'm going to start crying. It's so good. And that's supposed to be him with his dog in the beach. You see that?
All right. So I hate to be this guy.
So when'd you start loving butt rock, Johnny?
This is what I grew up on, this is better than butt rock. Come on now.
This fool does like his holes.
You mean to tell me that this is in any ways different from saliva, stylistically?
Nah, this is better, dude.
All right. All I'm going to say is right now, the irony of a sunset beach acoustic video being filmed by a band called Snot. They're called Snot.
I mean, it makes sense. All the bands all the bands at this time, Limp Bizkit, Korn, you know what I mean? They're all stupid ass names.
I don't know, dude. I'm just that, I have that dark comedy side to me where it's just like, you know, it's like a fucking heartfelt, like tearful at his funeral. Like the guitarist is like, Me and we started Snot years ago. Like, come on, that's funny, dude. Like, having to say we started Snot at a tearfelt funeral speech is pretty hilarious. I'm sorry, that's fucking funny. Great. It's one reason I've never called my band Fart.
Oh, but the cool thing about this video is like everybody's in it. Like everybody that's on the album is in this video, so you'll like see a bunch of people, like familiar people to you,
and that's, you said that's supposed to be him right there.
Yeah, it's supposed to be him. So like LeJean is so good though.
Great, but voice, he has a great voice.
You'll start seeing some of them if you guys could see that.
Damn, what a hang. I bet you that hang was epic.
Wait, young ass Brandon Boyd, you see that?
Yeah.
Badass. But this is the thing. The reason why I bring this up is because like a lot of kids are getting into nu metal now, you know, because like,
oh, it's coming back. It's for coming sure. Back. I'm sure you've seen it cycle a bunch of times, but Deftones is the biggest they've ever been.
Deftones is so huge right now. It's they're ridiculous. The biggest
ever. But that to me is not only encouraging, but I also saw another thing where it said that rock is the biggest genre right now.
Yep.
Which I mean is kind of like a bittersweet thing for me, because it's like, what do the fans who have been hanging in with rock as it's been dying say to this? You know what I mean? Right. It's like, yeah, dude, it's been a good fucking, it's been a good genre of music this entire time, and it's lasted the years.
Like, oh, now you get it.
And now you guys are finally catching up and you guys are getting over the fucking, the very commercialized a sterilized fucking cookie cutter music that has been fed to you, and you're looking for something new now. And all the people who have been here the entire fucking time, we're just supposed to welcome you like you didn't fucking marginalize us as dorks for liking the music in the first place. Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself.
It's a little hand jobby for me.
That's my rant of the day right there. That's my rant of the day.
I'm telling you, we have like a whatchamacallit from when you're ranting, like a fucking soundboard.
What do you think, Quinn, of rock kind of having a second resurgence?
Let's hear it from the horse's mouth.
I think everybody should go into the rock genre, into the metal genre. I love that it's a resurgence. You know, unlike you, Anthony, I don't want to exclude anybody. I feel like the more the merrier.
I do have to bring the funny just to make clear. I have to. I'm obviously joking, you know, but I have to make the funny on the podcast, you know. But yeah, no, it is. It is more. I'm glad to see it getting its heyday, obviously. But go ahead. I'm sorry. Continue.
They just need to, you know, be able to mosh pit, you know, be able to mosh. That's what's going to be the real test of if you're in
area,
if you're not in, right? Because the bigger the pit, I mean, come on. The bigger the pit, the better. Come on.
Always. What's the last mosh pit you were in, Quinn?
The We Came as Romans mosh pit. During the TV show, I was like, oh, I'm going to be in the mosh pit later. We talked about their first mosh pit, and then I did the 360 camera. And recorded that in the mosh pit. So that'll be on the TV show. You'll see how We Came as Romans parties.
I've always said it. Actual like live television needs more mosh pit cam. If we could get more of that on actual, national television, people will start understanding it and understanding the culture of mosh.
Yeah, they would.
The 360 camera is so cool.
So badass.
Quinn, have you ever messed with like the all the different like all the cool stylings you can do with a 360 cam? We got one recently. That thing's so fun to use, dude.
I like the
one where you can looks like you're walking on like the globe, like a planet or something. That one's sick.
We shot as the Dunce. We shot a whole music video with that thing. It's pretty sick.
Nice.
Check it out, people. Quantum, check it out. Right here on YouTube, live.
Hell yeah.
Right now, go click it.
Hey, expert over there. What's our time running here? What's our time looking at?
Yes, we're about... Shit, when did we start?
Oh boy.
Where
is this guy?
It says,
almost an hour.
It says it on there, dude.
Almost an hour.
Hour five.
Hour five. See, we're good.
Not bad.
We're fucking solid. We're killing it. All right,
we're
cool.
Doing good.
Let's run for, let's do one more. I want to share that Buried Alive video.
Yeah, let's
I know
do
we've
that.
Talked
yeah,
about
that.
Buried Alive, but I love this band.
They're
and
so
I will
good.
Always talk about what they do because it's brilliant.
They are brilliant.
This dude plays shows.
I don't think they do live stuff, man. That's one thing that I really expect.
It's only two of them, right? It's him and his wife,
and she does bass, he does guitar, he writes, I'm pretty sure, most of the stuff. But
she's a sick bass player, too.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love just their... I mean, they turned... Okay, we're good musicians, and we market this music and have this kind of whole genre that we kind of create with this weird guitar shit that he does, because he is one of the most unique guitarists on the planet, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely.
He's fucking so insane.
He's definitely doing something that nobody's doing.
And on top of that, to really capitalize on it, he made like a fucking clothing company. You know what I mean? Yep. That's what I think is so cool about what he did, is he really like, all right, cool, here's how I'm gonna get my market, and here's how I'm gonna market to those people. And he was, I think that's brilliant, man.
He's so cool, I'd say he's coolo.
like your dad. Is that a callback to your dad joke from the last episode?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, play it. Yeah, and then look at that.
His guitar is stupid.
Look at that! How cool that is with his kill switches and his fucking Evertune and all the shit he has going on his shit.
I honestly don't even know what all that is. Like, there's so much lights on it. It can't be made of wood. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking that he just taught his wife how to play bass and was like, I got you, babe. We're going to do this every single day.
And you know what I'm thinking, Johnny? Is still, if we had the option to have her play bass for Cherry Coyote, I would still pick her over you.
Yeah, so, no, I totally get it. I would too.
All right.
she's not only better, she's cuter. So
I don't know about cuter. You're pretty cute, Johnny. Give yourself some credit. God, they're so good. Look at how cool that is.
So badass.
Maybe make that the main screen, Johnny.
What?
The
That's
video?
Super cool. Hang on. Rewind it the past like 10 seconds. I want to hear that transition. I'm trying to like, as my producer brand, I'm trying to like break it down.
I want to
reverse engineer what they did here.
I want to hear this shit.
I want to see.
Here we go.
See if you guys agree with it.
I got you. Hold on.
A little more. There we go.
A little more.
Yeah. Let him have that.
Okay.
It's fucking crazy sounding. So cool.
Okay, I kind of hear it. So what they did, they did like a telephone effect on the bass. It sounds like they did like a telephone effect on the bass.
Yeah, so it like expresses added, the high end slappiness a little
right.
bit.
And then what they ended up doing, it sounded like they split it up into a left and right stereo of the mono signal.
So you're getting the bass on one side.
They EQ'd it differently so that it goes into the a chorus effect, and that what it has like a chorus effect that's kind of like swirling around on the stereo space.
Okay.
And then you can kind of put like the leads kind of just like wherever in this, in like the room, the imaginary room that you're setting yourself on the mix. Sounds really cool. I like that stuff.
I mean, he's a genius to me. Stop with the nerd drop. You're bad at it. You're bad at it.
That's how I hear you guys, dude.
That was good. That was your first time really nailing it. Oh, shit.
Oh, let's hear some more of this.
Change the fucking camera. I get it now.
I'm just getting into it.
Look, you change it back to me.
I'm going cycling.
There we go.
How about that?
None of that works for me.
No.
Woo, he's getting down now.
This is one of the funnest guitarists in the world, man. I love how he plays.
Dude, I love how he plays. Every time I listen to this guy, do you think he mixes it himself?
Okay, so a lot of his content.
The headroom is insane on this.
A lot of his content comes out, it's like people are like, oh yeah, it's sped up or slowed down or whatever it is. You know, like people, you know, like, and then he plays it raw, he plays it live, and then you see him just like playing the strings and he does videos like that, you know, to prove like, yeah, I'm just playing this shit, and then that's how it sounds when I do the processing. So there is some crazy processing step that makes it.
Cool things in post that he's doing, but exactly. He's playing the actual riffs.
So
and stuff.
Obviously, but the talent that it takes to not only set up those chains, fucking, you know, be the performer that you are and then produce the music that way. Yeah, fucking, I'm not questioning it at all. Fucking,
shout out Buried Alive. You guys are shout out fucking Buried Alive. You guys are doing
so good.
So what is it? 10 cool stools out of 10 caps?
10 out of 10? For me.
10 caps. 10 stools.
10 out of 10 stools.
It's caps. It's 10 out of 10 dumps caps.
Yeah, 10 dumps caps. But I will always praise at the altar of Buried Alive. The album Fool's Gold is one of my favorites of the last decade. That one is so fucking good. I could sing it. I could play the rhythm guitar, not the shreddy guitar, but like jam to it because of how fun the parts are. It's one of those good albums. And if he wrote it all by himself, then God bless. God bless.
Sounds good.
So it's a 10 out of 10 across the board, guys?
I would say so, yeah. I would say so. 10 stools.
He says the Love says Watch. 10.
Love Watch 100%.
Yeah, Love Watch and a 10 out of 10. Gotta love that. I mean, they're just so talented. That's the thing, you know? So super, super talented.
Have you ever bought any of their merch, Johnny?
No. Their merch is way too flashy for me.
Do you think so?
Yeah, for me, yeah. With all the colors and shit.
If I were to buy you one of their hats, you wouldn't rock it?
I probably would.
You would rock one of their of hats. Course. I would make you wear that hat. I would buy two of them and I would wear it and I would make you wear it like we're twins. And I would be like, hey, dude, I'm going to wear the Buried Alive hat today. You got to wear it. And you'd be like, okay, man. And I'd be like, no, seriously. Are you excited? I'm excited to wear it.
Yeah,
you got to wear
it. Let's do it together.
Come on, do it. It's like a thing we're doing together, right? Right?
Johnny's personality screams monochrome for me. You know?
Black and white.
Black and white.
Yep. Black and white.
This right here, this red hat is already way too much red for me. Way
it's very
too much
flashy.
Color. Yeah, it's way flashy. Too much. All my hats are black and gray, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much, and then like one maroon hat, which is also a Niner hat.
All right, what are we doing on timer now?
I think we're at rap territory,
113.
Right?
We can. Oh, yeah. We have rap territory. We have a choice. We can do this one last thing and end with the laugh, or we can just end with plugs.
All right, what is the last thing, Johnny? I'm scared.
I thought it was funny because okay. I know that Anthony talks been talking shit on this band now, but
oh god,
this is funny.
All right, here we go.
What happens here is funny. Quinn, are you familiar with Spirit Box?
Oh, shit. I've been talking shit, oh, yeah. Man. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you have.
No, I haven't.
You said they suck.
I said that they're a commercial juggernaut. That's right. What I said. That's not talking shit.
Quinn, do you like this band?
Spirit Box.
Yeah, yeah. We worked on some promo materials when I was back at Sirius for them.
Oh, shit.
Super cool people.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah, met them a couple times. I asked Courtney to be on the new album and she didn't respond to me on Instagram. I shot my shot.
There's a lot of walls there, you know, a lot of things that might be in the way there. You know, she might not even be running her own Instagram. You never know.
Probably, maybe not.
Yeah,
now,
no, huh? For sure.
Well, okay. So let me just preface it real quick. So she does an interview at the Grammys and
she's at the Grammys.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how big the band has gotten recently.
No, man, bring it back, man. It's crazy. Bring rock back to the mainstream. I love it.
But I think this is funny because the interviewer mistakes her for Poppy.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's pretty great. It's pretty great. I love the way she handles it.
So we're here with rock royalty, Poppy. No, you are. I mean, you got nominated against Judas Priest, who I just talked to. Metallica.
I have to say, yep, being, I am Poppy, and I am really happy to be here, nominated with Knock Loose. I really hope we win.
This is not your first nominee.
Oh, that's great.
The best part about it.
It just shows you the fake nature of all those like reporters and those people. They don't know shit about what they're doing.
They're fed
a sheet at the beginning of the day, and they're like, all right, cool. And that becomes the interview for the day.
It's funny because she straight up went with like the lore.
I am Poppy. Yeah. She says straight up, I am Poppy.
She went with,
I'm
like,
excited to be nominated with Knock Loose.
Right, dude. It's so funny because they got nominated for that song that they did together. So it's hilarious because she's straight up picking up the lore of Poppy and like everything that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. She's, you know, adding to it. Yeah.
It's so funny, dude. She's pretty great.
She was nominated in, I believe, 2020. Really happy to be here again. Would love to take home the Grammy.
Damn.
She's bringing up old shit.
Damn.
Be the first woman to.
What a legend. That's handled as about as well as you can handle it.
It's so good.
That's handled as about as well as you can handle it.
That's not even the best part.
Did she do a thing where she's just like, I do just want to say I'm very proud of my friends in the band Spirit Box for also being nominated.
It's so good.
I would have said some shit like that.
Bro, this interview is 3 minutes long of her doing this.
Oh, no way.
That's why I love it.
Nominated for it.
I actually haven't looked at that, but I just always know that, you know, it's time for one of us to win, and I hope it's me or Spirit Box or Courtney.
Awesome. We have a question for nomination for you.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Fuck. I've taken back everything I've ever said about her, and I'm in love with Courtney LaPlante.
So
again.
Good, dude.
Holy shit. That was good. That was good. Damn,
so
how else do you handle it? No other way.
That's the best way, dude.
No other way.
She just went with it.
She handled it the best way she could handle it.
Holy shit. So I love that video. I seen it on like Instagram or TikTok or some shit, and I was like, yo, this is the best thing ever. Best thing ever. I'm like, that's so much fun.
Crazy. Crazy. Yeah.
I just wanted to share that with you guys.
All right.
Well, yeah. No, I say we're in wrap up territory. So let's lead with Quinn, man. Any other plugs you might want to offer or any other things you might want to say?
Yeah. August 15th, We Came as Romans YouTube, the Hotbox Show premieres. August 27th, Dopamine. That's our song by Red Helix. That premieres. October 5th, we are playing potentially our first show. We might have a opening act for a secret show. I can't really say anything about it, but we might be playing a secret show, but with a pretty big band in September. If that doesn't work out, regardless, we're playing October 5th at the Bowery Electric in Manhattan. So, you know, spread the word.
Sick.
And that's all I got, guys.
Hell yeah.
Any direct links you want to share with anybody? Instagram links, YouTube links, stuff like that?
Yeah, like your handles and stuff would be cool.
Yeah, at Producer Quinn, at Red Helix Records, and at Official Hotbox Show. Those are the three.
Awesome.
Hell yeah.
Awesome.
All right, Johnny, what you got, Johnny?
Hell yeah. Hey, just check me out. Hey, thank you again for listening to the podcast. If you're this far in the podcast, that means, you know, you actually listen to our shit. I appreciate that. So check me out, Johnny Savage on Instagram, TikTok, and everywhere. YouTube and stuff is JONNYSAVAG without the H, and Johnny without the E, and Savage.
Johnny Sausage.
Johnny Sausage. check out my band, DNG Heavy, on Instagram and YouTube. I don't think there's a TikTok. YouTube. We just dropped a song called Life Speaks. We're going on a little mini 3-day run to Bakersfield and San Luis Obispo this month. So if anybody listening and they're out there, come kick it at the show and we'll talk the music and shit. Check out the Dunce official on Instagram, and we got a lot of new music coming out. Me and Mick have been recording, so we got a lot of cool stuff coming out with that. And just appreciate y'all listening to the Steel Podcast. Mick, go ahead.
Yeah, like Johnny was saying, at The Dunce, you can go and check us out on TikTok, on Instagram, at The Dunce Official as well. We got new Cherry Coyote stuff coming up pretty soon. Me and Anthony, we've been cranking, learning these tracks, getting everything, you know, pretty much situated for a live scenario. This is a brand new project, so we're really liking where it's going right now. You can check me out this month on the 23rd at the House of Blues at the Parish Room. I'm playing with Havoc Faction. Come on out, check it out.
I'll probably be there next Saturday, right?
Is it next Saturday?
23rd.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Oh, dude, honestly, that's even be better. Tour. Yeah, then I'll definitely be there.
I'll be gone. I'm sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever, Joe.
But yeah, you can find me on Instagram at NoMixGiven, on TikTok at NoMixGiven, and go ahead and follow our page, like and subscribe. Thank you guys for tuning into the podcast. What you got, Anthony?
All right, and I'm here to wrap it up, guys. Thank you for watching The Stool Podcast. I am Ranthony. You can go find me on Instagram at RanthonyJohn. Follow me there. Follow my band, Dead Widow CA. Follow my band, The Computer Cheats. And follow my band, Zaida. I'm still doing all that stuff on top of the Cherry Coyote stuff, on top of the stuff with Red Helix, which also go check out all the Red Helix stuff. We got the plugs for that. But yeah, I mean, I'm just basically making music with friends right now. I'm that's what I've been doing. So look out for any of that stuff. This has been The Stool Podcast. Thank you for watching with us.
Hell yeah. Thanks
this
for
is the
coming,
sunglass
Quinn.
Episode.
Appreciate it, brother.
Thank our guest, Quinn. Thank everybody.
Thank you,
we're
going
to do the fanfare, the fucking right there for our buddy Quinn for coming Let's in go. And doing in with us. We will see you guys on the next episode. Thank you and take care.